May the Lord bless you. I do greet you again tonight. The name that is above all names. The lovely name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As Paul wrote the churches of the New Testament, he always gave them a twofold greeting. We know so because in the early New Testament days, when the church began to spread to the Gentile colonies, there were dispersed Jews, converted Jews, and there were converted Gentiles. Paul's greeting was grace and peace. Grace and peace. Peace, the word shalom to the Hebrew, to the Jewish believer, the Jewish Christian. And grace to the Gentile. And so whether Jew or Gentile, I greet you tonight. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one of whom we have experienced grace and peace. It has been a thrill for Joni and I to be here. Our experience here has been one of great benefit to us. Just to be in your presence, the way you receive the Word of God, your sweet spirits and your sweet fellowship has refreshed us today. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, and so does she also. As we have spent a short time here, we've been able to spend some time with your pastor, his wife and family, of course, Brother Dan and Miss Carmen. And I believe in my heart, just having been here, that some of the best days for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church lie ahead. It's been a rough year, been a tough year, but you've come out of it well, and God is going to lead you all the way. I want to take a moment to thank Dan and Carmen for the opportunity to stay in their beautiful home, to experience their hospitality. I love you, Carmen, me, Joni, and I love you and the girls. I'll tell you what, we just love them and appreciate them. And thank you for letting us stay and for being so good to us, Carmen. We appreciate that. I want to thank Brother John for extending the invitation through Brother Dan for me to come. And I want to thank you, dear brother, for the hospitality you have shown us today and for allowing us to sit at a table with your family and to see what great things the Lord has done. Thank you, brother. We appreciate it very much. And then I want to thank the church for whatever you do for us financially. It matters not. This is not about money. It's about ministry. I just want to thank you for coming and being here today and taking part in this service and these services. Well, as I told you this morning, I do have some prayer cards. Now, I'm not officially on deputation. After pastoring for 37 years, I just found it very difficult to make the transition to deputation. But nonetheless, the Lord has called me into missionary evangelism. Our ministry is out of the Parkwood Baptist Church of Houston, Texas. The name of our ministry, which is a ministry of the church, is Global Gospel Connections. Being a pastor, having traveled around the world and been to so many different mission fields over the course of our 31 years and 2 months there, I have been able to come in contact with a lot of missionaries around the fields of the world. Also, pastoring for 37 years, I have had the privilege of preaching for, traveling, and being in many churches and getting to know pastors. I see world missions waning on the landscape of the church today. And God laid it upon my heart and burdened my heart to connect pastors and churches to the missionaries and the fields of the world. We do so, first of all, by the means of mission trips. COVID knocked a hole in that a little bit. Much of the world is closed, and I'm not able to do at this time what I want to do. But I see a light shining at the end of the tunnel. Things seem to be opening up a little. And what we do is we take pastors with us to the mission field. We do two things while we're on the mission field. Number one, we set an evangelistic itinerary. And I utilize these pastors in the preaching of evangelistic meetings. I want them to preach. I want them to preach through an interpreter. I want them to experience the culture, you know, except for one portion of culture in the Philippines. They love a balut. Do you know what a balut is? It's a duck egg. And they rob it of the nest about 21 days prior to hatching. And they incubate it. You'll see them all over Manila. They'll have them in orange buckets with light bulbs down in there to keep them incubated. They sell them. They say it's a delicacy. And they'll knock a hole in the top and drink the fluid out. And then they'll peel that egg back and you see that little fetus, the little wings, the little beak. And they'll eat that thing whole, raw. They say it's a delicacy. They told me, they said, well, preacher, it's good for your knees. I said, my knees are just fine. Well, preacher, it helps with arthritis. I told them, I said, I don't have arthritis. So other than things like that, we want your pastors to experience the culture. We engage in evangelistic meetings. We also train leaders, those two things. We train leaders. We have negotiations with missionaries in every sector of the world, and what we do is we ask them to secure room and board, and we ask them to, of course, have an itinerary for us, secure transportation and fuel, and then when we get there, we pay for it. We ask the pastors to buy their own plane tickets. If they can't, we help them. We help them. And if they can, we ask, the more pastors we take, the more affordable it is. We divide into whatever number of pastors we take. We divide the room, the board, the transportation, and the fuel up. We give that money to the missionary. We do not want to call and ask if we can come and ask them to foot the bill. We foot the bill. And then, of course, we leave a little love offering. To that end, my wife and I have a prayer card printed up. It's right here. And we want you to have one of these. I'm sure I don't have one for everybody in this stack, but I'm going to leave them right here. We want you to have one. And for nothing else, just pray for us. Pray for us. Pray that even in the midst of this COVID, that God will open the doors. Another issue has arisen with this vaccine. It may be that I have to get that. I'm somewhat hesitant. But it may be that I have to get that in order to travel. And I believe if that be the case, the Lord will protect me and take care of me. I trust in Him. I just would covet your prayers. Pray for us as we hit the road tonight. We need to make it to Nashville. And then on in the morning, we'll get on to northern Arkansas around the town of Hardy. We'll start a 3-day meeting. And on Thursday, we'll head back to Mississippi where our fifth wheel is. And you pray for us. God will give us safety in our journeys. What a privilege it has been to be at the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I call your attention tonight to the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Chapter number 4 of the book of Philippians. Now, if y'all don't mind, I'm going to take my coat off again because I'm just more comfortable that way. Philippians chapter number 4. If you remember this morning, I left off by telling you concerning that missionary song. There's a call comes ringing, o'er the restless waves, send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. And I told you at the end that many times we like to talk about sending the light. But a lot of times we do not like to talk about paying the light bill. To send the gospel around the world is a noble cause. It is a just cause. It is the mandate and command of the Lord Jesus Christ to His church. There need be no Baptist business meeting. There be no voting about it. We just simply need to do it. And that is to get the gospel around the world. It is the heart of God. To do so, dearly beloved, it demands that we send missionaries, and there's two ways that we can send missionaries. But before I tell you that, let me give you the verse that promotes that. Romans 10 and 14 says this, how shall we call on him, how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe on him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Missionaries do not just go to the field, they must be sent. They need to go under the authority of a local church, according to Acts chapter 13. And they need to go, dearly beloved, with the blessing and the approval of that church, as you read about in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. There are two ways that we send missionary. Number one, through our prayers. Amen. I spoke this morning about the missionary prayer and action group in our church. We send missionaries through our prayers. But not only do we send missionaries through our prayers, but you'll find out tonight in Philippians chapter number 4, we send missionaries through our payments. That is the clear subject at hand right here in this contextual paragraph. I understand, and I don't know for how many years, dearly beloved, but I understand and I commend you that this church supports world missions by the means of faith promise. Some churches support world missions, like the Highland Park Baptist Church, by giving out of their budgets, their operating fund budgets. Some churches utilize the medium of faith promise, a special offering taken up, designated to support missions. And then some churches utilize a combination of both. I have no problem with neither. But I will say this, when we support missions by paying them out of our operating fund budget, that means we're paying them out of our tithes. Tithing is not giving. Never in the Bible, and I challenge you to look. You'll never see the word give next to the word tithe. But you will see the word pay or receive or bring. The reason why is the tithe is not yours. The tithe is the Lord's. And as I used to tell my people, if you rob God and don't tithe, you might end up down at the dentist's office getting your tithes taken out. You might end up in the operating room. You might end up in the hospital getting your tithes taken out. No, ma'am, no, sir. We do not really exercise giving till we go beyond the tithe. And that is why it's called faith promise, and rightfully so, because to engage and embrace in that kind of giving, it demands faith and the exercise of faith that not only provides for these missionaries, but it enables us to grow spiritually. And so for that reason, I'm not too keen on just supporting them out of your operating fund budget. I'm not against that. But if we want to take our people to a new spiritual level, we must help them to understand that God has chosen the medium of giving, not just to provide for missionaries and many other needs, but He's chosen the medium of giving to be a barometer of our spiritual level. Our brother Daniel quoted it a while ago, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I commend this church for embracing faith promise. But whether it's faith promise, whether it's giving out of your budget or a combination of both, it all falls under the category of the grace of giving. And the manual on that is 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and chapter 9. He literally writes a textbook on the grace of giving. I wish I had time to preach those two chapters tonight. I don't. And the Lord has directed my attention here. But I do want to preach this evening, dearly beloved, on why your missions offering is very important. Why is your missions offering, my missions offering, very important? I believe as we graze in these green pastures and we search these scriptures tonight, you and I are going to learn the answer to that from the words of the Apostle Paul. I don't believe anyone would disagree with me tonight that the author of the book of Philippians is Paul. The Apostle Paul, the first missionary in the New Testament church, called out of the church at Antioch in Acts chapter 13, is the author of this book. We see it very clearly in chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, Timothy was traveling with him, the servants of Jesus Christ, all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. So I don't believe anybody would disagree with me that Paul is the author of this book. Now you might disagree with what I'm about to say, but it is my responsibility to take the scripture and show us. And that is, dearly beloved, that the subject of this contextual paragraph is a missionary offering. I say that, number one, because Paul was a missionary. But I say it number two because the wording that is used here sometimes is synonymous. But we must understand, dearly beloved, that the subject at hand is that of the giving of our money, the giving of our funds. The proof of that is found in verse number 15, and look what he says. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, and he's going back to Acts 13, his ministry, when I departed from Macedonia, look at this now, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. Paul is talking about a missionary offering here. And we know because he's talking about money that this church gave to him being a missionary on the field preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we look at this text tonight, dearly beloved, I believe that you'll find out three reasons why your missions offering is so very important. Now, I want you to understand this before I dig into this. Some people can give more than others according to their economic ability. But really, whatever we give should be determined by faith. But I want you to understand this. This evening as we dig into this, dearly beloved, that as Paul writes this letter or ends this letter to the church at Philippi, he wants them to know that their offering is important, first of all, because it profits the missionary. I believe you'll see that. I'll show you that by the grace of God in these verses tonight. It profits the missionary. But number two, I want you to see from these passages tonight that our missions offering is so very important because it provides for the church. It provides for the church. But number three, and probably more importantly than any of those, I want you to see that our missionary offering is important because it pleases God. It pleases God. I was distracted just for a moment. Let me return to what I used to tell our church. Some can give more than others. And I used to tell our church, I used to tell them, irregardless of what you give, I want you to understand this. When God fills a bucket of water with rain, how does he do it? One drop at a time. And I used to tell our people, just make sure you put your drop in and God will do the rest. He will do the rest. So what's so important about my missionary offering, your missionary offering, our missionary offering? I want to say, first of all, dearly beloved, it profits the missionary. It profits the missionary. Paul is the missionary here. And there are quite a few statements that Paul makes here to show that he is profiting in various ways from this giving and receiving that is practiced by this Philippian church. Number one, he profits financially or physically. We see it, dearly beloved, here in the text this evening. Look what he says, if you will, please, in verse number 14. He says, "Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction." Now the word communicate here in verse 14, and then the word communicate down here in verse number 15. He's not talking about an email, a text, or a fax, or even a call. What he's talking about is the same thing he was speaking of in Galatians chapter 6. If you remember, dearly beloved, he was talking about leaders and followers. And he said, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." And what Paul was teaching those Galatians is that man of God that's feeding you and that man of God that's leading you, you make sure you take care of him. And then he makes a promise concerning that responsibility. And we often quote it in relation to sin. But really, in the context of those verses there, Paul is talking about their giving in order to take care of God's man. And he says this. He says, "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." He's talking about their giving there. This is the same word that is used here in verse 14. And down in verse 15, he's talking about communicating or taking care of God's man. He alluded to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 when he said, "Is it any or great ordeal that I reap your physical benefits when you reap spiritual benefits?" And he uses the phrase here, "my necessity." What is Paul talking about? Well, he's talking about the same thing he mentions in verse number 10. He says, I rejoice greatly that now at the last, your care of me, And then he talks about in verse number 11 the state that he's in. He's not talking about the state of Tennessee or the state of Texas. He's talking about the state of his finances or his physicality. And he's talking about how these Philippians, through their love offering, were helping to care for him. And there in verse 14 where we read tonight, he calls it his necessity. Or excuse me, his affliction. He's not talking about his sickness there. And I do believe Paul had a thorn in the flesh. I believe it was his eyes. But what he's talking about there is the affliction of his needs financially and physically on the field as he's preaching the gospel. We do know that Paul was a tent maker and that often he would make tents to tend to his needs. But sometimes his needs went beyond that. And Paul is commending this church for being sensitive to the Lord and sensitive to his needs. And once again, putting money in somebody's hand and having it sent to him. Look on down a little further. Let me show you another word. He uses the word necessity. Verse 16 says, "For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Hey, let me tell you why your missionary offering is so important. Because it profits the missionary in his finances. It profits the missionary financially. It enables him to stay on the field. I told you this morning that America is the only nation that pays people to come here and live. When I was in Israel in 99, I was up in the city of Nazareth and I saw this building and I asked this gentleman, our guide, what it was. He said, "We call those absorption centers."
He said, when people immigrate to Israel, we do all their testing, both mentally and physically here in these absorption centers. We assign them a place to live, and we assign them so many shekels a month to live on. And in 18 months, they have to learn Israeli, Hebrew, or they're returned to their point of origin. I thought, my, sounds like America needs to learn from that. But America is the only nation that pays immigrants to come here. In other nations, dearly beloved, you can't go there unless you're a tent maker missionary and you're there on a work visa. You cannot go there and do conventional work. If you're going to and be able to stay, then you're going to have to be supported by the grace giving, the faith promise giving, and the love offerings of God's people. Can I tell you today, missionaries have to pay rent too. Missionaries have to buy groceries. They have to put clothes on their children's backs and shoes on their feet. And the only way that their necessity and their affliction is going to be ministered to, if we'll let God touch our heart and break us, and if you and I, dearly beloved, will exercise faith and minister to their affliction and minister to their necessity. It provides or profits the missionary physically or financially. Number two, it profits the missionary spiritually. It encourages the missionary heart. Can't tell you how many times I've heard from missionaries who were lonely and discouraged and thinking about coming home, and their office would send them a giving report, and they would see where churches gave to help them stay, and maybe every once in a while it would be a new church or a new individual. And I've heard those missionaries say, you know, I was discouraged and I was thinking about quitting, but I looked at that and I thought, my, if people can sacrifice and love me enough to do that, then I don't need to let discouragement overwhelm me. I need to love my Lord enough and love God's people enough to stay in the saddle for God. Paul experienced that. I love what he said here in verse number 10. He said, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. When those Philippians sent that money to him in Thessalonica, it caused his heart to be filled with gratitude. It caused the apostle Paul to say, praise the Lord, amen. It made him want to charge hell with a squirt gun. It encouraged his heart spiritually. And I got to tell you tonight, as I travel around, not just the world, but the states, I not only see a lot of missionaries that need encouraging, but I see a lot of God's men that need encouraging. I see a lot of God's people that need encouraging. Maybe it might just be a letter letting somebody know that they're praying for you. Maybe it might be somebody just drop a $20 bill in your hand and say, hey, God touched my heart to give this to you. You would be surprised how that encourages people's hearts when people are getting down and discouraged and thinking about quitting. And it encourages them to go on. It profits the missionary financially. It profits the missionary spiritually. And it profits the missionary mentally. And what I want to emphasize here from these verses is it maintains a positive state of mind. If you check Independent Baptist Missions now and you check the statistics, you and I have come to a place where more missionaries are coming home from the field than are going. I mean, they get on the field and there's the language barrier. They get on the field and there's the culture barrier. They get on their field and they never hear from the pastor or never hear from anybody in their church. The ladies find it hard sometimes to buy the food and the clothes that they need for their children. Their children have to leave their friends and leave their schools, and they're isolated in some country somewhere all by themselves. They don't understand the language. And before you know it, dearly beloved, the missionary and his family find themselves in a negative state of mind. Before long, they get so discouraged they're coming home. But I want you to see Paul's positive state of mind here. Paul uses some terminology and Paul uses some words here, dearly beloved, that magnify his positive state of mind. We read in verse 10, but he said, I rejoiced in the Lord. And we read in verse number 11, he said, I have learned. We read in verse number 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to be abound. Twice he says, I know. But then he comes to verse number 13 and look what he says. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's why our missionary offering is so important, because it profits the missionary mentally, and that it contributes to a positive state of mind. Instead of dwelling on what they can't do, they start dwelling on what he can do by the grace of God. So your missionary offering is important because it profits the missionary. But I want to say secondly, dearly beloved, your missionary offering is important because it provides for the church. I mean, look what he says here in verse number 19. After all that he said in this text, he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What is Paul saying? He's talking about the gifts of his people. And what he's saying, dearly beloved, is because you gave to God and because you gave to my necessity and my affliction, God in turn will give back to you your every need. It reminds us of such promises as Matthew 6 and 33, where he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are these things? Food and water and clothing. What is God saying? He's saying, I will provide the necessities of life. It reminds me also of Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, where Jesus said this in that great Sermon on the Mount. He said, give, and it shall be given. Give and it shall be given. Sometimes we have it in the wrong order in faith promise. We wait on God, and some teach it this way. We wait on God to give and then we give it. The problem is there's no faith exercised in that. But the New Testament says, oh no, you give and God will give back. And then of course we come to this verse tonight, and because of them sending once and again to Paul's necessity, Paul says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let me tell you what I've learned after pastoring 37 years and being involved in grace giving. I've learned, dearly beloved, that the church that will give to missions, and the church that will sacrifice, and the church that will exercise faith, and the church, dearly beloved, that will tend to God's business, God will tend to their business. I've never seen a church that had a healthy missionary budget that ever suffered in their operating fund. Because God's telling you that if you'll seek first my kingdom, if you'll take care of my work, I'll take care of you too. He's not promised to meet our wants. He's not promised to meet the things that we so desire, but he has promised to meet our needs. He'll help pay your bills. He'll help take care of the needs of your life. But I got to tell you, every once in a while, he'll even throw a want in. God is so gracious. Ruth called them handfuls on purpose. I got to get down here. I'm tired of staying up here. I'm going to come down here and get where you are. Ruth called them handfuls on purpose. The more faithful we are, and the more consistent we are, not only does God always supply our needs, but just ever so once in a while, God will throw a want in and a special blessing in because of faithfulness. I use this illustration. I tell it a lot, but I want to tell it tonight. I love a Chick-fil-A milkshake. I learned that from Ron Martin. Brother Ron Martin taught me about how good Chick-fil-A milkshakes are, and I started drinking them every once in a while. I don't drink them all the time, but just every once in a while I'll get a hankering. And I'll go buy Chick-fil-A and I'll say, I want a large vanilla shake. She's shaking her head. She knows exactly what I'm talking about. And you know what they'll ask me? Do you want whipping cream and cherry with that? That's not the shake. That's just the added blessing. And I'll say, yes, by all means, fill it up. Put the whipping cream on there. And then drop that cherry like a bomb. Psst. One day I did that. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, son, that's the way I am. You're going to get your shake. But just so every once in a while, I'm going to throw some whipping cream and cherry on top. I'm just simply saying, dearly beloved, you and I have a promise from God. You don't need to worry about, man, if I do this, how's this going to affect me financially? If I do this, I mean, the numbers just don't add up. They don't have to, and you don't have to worry about that. I just heard from heaven, and this one thing I know, my sins, they're all forgiven. He's washed them white as snow. He will take care of you. He will meet your every need. If you'll give in faith, God will give back. And there's three very clear reasons why. Number one, because of a promise that is given. It's a promise. What is it? Verse 19. But my God shall. Oh, I love that. My God shall. Not my God might. Not my God maybe, but my God shall. Hear me today, church. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your leaders. And follow them in this missions endeavor. They're leading you the right direction. Exercise faith and embrace faith and give and it shall be given. God has promised that he will supply all your need. But not only is there a promise that is given, but there's a provision that is guaranteed. And what is that? All your need. When I transitioned out of the pastorate at Parkwood Baptist Church, the church was paying me healthy, very healthy. And I'm not bragging, and I don't want you to think so. I'm saying this to provoke you. They were paying me a six-figure income. Oh, we were very comfortable, Joni and I. We had a home, we had automobiles, we had everything that a person possibly could want. And all of a sudden, God began to deal with my heart about giving up that pastorate, and that means the salary goes out the back door and go into missionary evangelism. I have no thrift plan, even though my name is Thrift. I had no savings. I made some mistakes. I enjoyed my money and I spent it. But that was foolish. Had no savings. I had no Social Security. I did a foolish thing when I was 18 years old. I opted out of it. And here we are. About to ride off into the sunset with no savings, no Social Security, and no thrift plan. My wife was working, but we never used her money. We didn't need it. She used her money on the grandchildren, and she bought things that she wanted. I told her, keep your money. We don't need it. Use it for whatever you want. And through the years, I had always asked God to help me reach the place where I gave more to missions than I gave in my tithe. Ultimately, the Lord enabled me to go there. It was a three-figure amount every week to missions. My wife came to me, and I don't want y'all to think ill of her, because she's a better woman than I ever will be. Did y'all get that? But she cautioned me. She said, now, Mark, you can't give to missions what you've been given. Because if you remember, you went from six figures to zero. And I mean zero. I said, yes, I understand that. I understand that up here in my mind. I realize the numbers don't crunch. They don't add up. But only problem is you and I won't determine that. God will. And I'm going to tell you what the Holy Spirit led me to do. He said, I want to show you what I can do. He said, you keep giving that three-figure amount. No money coming in except for love offerings. Her salary went toward our retirement because, as I told you, I had no thrift plan. I had no savings. I had no Social Security. But I just kept on giving that. Kept on giving that. And then every year for our missions conference, the Lord told me to up it. I've upped it five times from what I was giving. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm wanting to provoke you like Paul did the Corinthians with the Macedonian believers. I'm wanting to brag on Jesus and tell you what Jesus can do. I just kept giving. And you know what happened? I did not do one incident of deputation. And within 6 months after I resigned and went into this ministry, God sent to me $2,500 of missionary support every month. During COVID, I had 23 meetings canceled. Just kept putting that grace giving in. Just kept tithing and kept putting that missions offering in. And at the end of the year, I counted more money taken in at the end of COVID than any of my other years in missionary evangelism. But my God shall. A promise that is given. But my God shall. And a product that is guaranteed supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Just want to stop and give Him praise and thanks. I haven't missed any meals. God has provided every need that we had. We needed a fifth wheel and a truck. And God provided not only the fifth wheel and the truck, but God provided the funds to pay cash for. We're out on the road, living like nomads. We feel like Abraham pitching a tent. And everywhere we go, God just meets the need and supplies the need. I've been telling people all year, and I mean this humbly. I'm not bragging tonight, and I'm not minimizing what churches do. But I don't live off what you give me. I live off what I give Him. Because what I give Him stirs you. He stirs you to give to me. Listen to what Jesus said. Give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give to your bosom. Oh yes, it provides for the church. As a matter of fact, the churches, we need to use financial wisdom. But the last thing we need to do when we get in financial trouble is draw up the strings in the flesh. We don't need to take faith out of the equation. As a matter of fact, dearly beloved, it probably might better if you take on another missionary and say, we're just going to believe God, trust God. Provides for the church because of a promise that is given, because of a provision that is guaranteed, and because of a person that is glorified. Look at this. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't get any glory out of what we can do. God gets glory out of what he can do, my friend. God doesn't get any glory about after what can be done in the flesh, but God gets glory when you and I act and operate in faith and he steps into the picture. That's why he said in Romans 14:23 that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. In Hebrews 11:6 he said, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Why is your missions offering so important? Number one, it profits the missionary financially, spiritually, and mentally. Number two, it provides for the church because of a promise that is given, a provision that is guaranteed, and a person that is glorified. Number three, it pleases God. It pleases God. Look what it says in verse number 18. But I have all and abound. In other words, Paul's got all his physical and financial needs here. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell. He's not talking about Chanel number 5. He's not talking about cologne here. He's talking about what pleases God. And I'll tell you what pleases God. Faith-giving pleases God. Faith-giving is aromatic to God when you and I exercise faith, dearly beloved. It causes God to experience the sweet aroma of people who trust him. It is though the Holy Spirit is saying here, when you sent that offering from heaven's shore, God went, oh, that smells sweet. An odor of a sweet smell. And then he goes on to explain it. A sacrifice acceptable. Listen to this. Well, pleasing to God. Why is it pleasing to God? Number one, because of the sacrifice that is involved. He uses the word sacrifice here. In other words, it cost them something. It cost them. Let me tell you about the kind of giving that pleases God. It cost you something. It involves a sacrifice. Reaching into what we have that we might use on this or that, but saying, I'm going to give it to Jesus because what Jesus wants is more important than what I want. And reaching down inside, giving till it hurts, and giving till it costs us. David mentioned that when he bought the threshing floor of Ornan. If you remember, that was on Mount Moriah. It's the same place where Abraham sacrificed his son Isaac. It's the same place where Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary. It's the same mount where the temple stood till it was destroyed in 70 AD. And here's what David said. I'll not sacrifice that to the Lord. Listen now. Which cost me nothing. And that's why grace giving, that's why faith promise is well pleasing to God. That's why our missionary offering pleases God, because he becomes a priority. The ministry, missions becomes a priority, so much so that we're willing to reach into what we have and through preeminence give it to him for his glory, that the gospel might go around the world. It's well pleasing to God. Not only because of the sacrifice that's involved or the faith that's involved, but it's well-pleasing to God because of the fruit that is involved. Verse 17, look at this. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that might abound to your account. I'm well convinced. Even though we don't know what all our missions offering does. I mean, we may know the missionary, but we don't know the people that he's working with. We don't know the families and the homes, and we don't know the situations that those people are in. And I'm well aware, and I believe this with all of my heart, that when we get up to heaven one day, somebody's going to walk up to us and they're going to say, "Thank you for sending Philip Nainan to Andhra Pradesh. He and his family brought the gospel to me, and I got saved, and my family got saved." I'm well convinced, maybe from all walks of life and all continents and all places in the world, people are going to walk up to us and say, "Thank you for giving. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Thank you for sacrificing. For because you did, a missionary came to my land and to my shore, and they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to me. I heard it was saved. My family got saved." This is what Paul is talking about. Paul is saying this, that the fruit of his ministry, God gave the Philippians credit for it because of their sacrificial giving. It was fruit that abounded to their account. When I first became the pastor of Parkwood Baptist Church in 1985, my father had already gotten a good start on. But it became my passion to put a missionary on every continent of this world. And we did that. Except for Antarctica, of course. And then it became my passion to put a missionary in every country on every continent. We didn't quite achieve that total goal, but we went a long way towards it. And here's what I told them. These missionaries are an extension of our ministry. And the people that they get, that they win to Christ because we help send them, that's fruit that's going to abound to our account. God gives us credit for that. And I want it to be. And when I say credit, I'm saying one day we'll be rewarded for that. But I want it to be so that one day, it can be said of the Parkwood Baptist Church that the sun never sets on our ministry. That even when we're asleep over here, there's somebody we've sent over there that's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul's words were very clear here. For even in Thessalonica, once and again, you sent unto my necessity. This is your mission's emphasis, Mom. There are faith promise cards printed up for you to take. This constitutes your mission's offering. This is not your tithe. This is above and beyond your tithe. This is an offering, dearly beloved, that demands faith. Because it doesn't figure in. It doesn't add up. And here's what you need to do. You just simply need to pray about what God wants you to do. And whatsoever he saith unto you, you do it. Whatever he lays on your heart, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You give it for the glory of God and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See God provide your needs and be true to his promise. Oh, when he comes, Will he find faith on the earth? The word faith is the root word of faithfulness. And that's actually what he's saying. Will he find faithfulness on this earth? When it comes, I want to be engaged in his will for my life. And I tell you, I don't know everything about the will of God, but I know this. I know this. It's the will of God for me to preach the gospel. It's the will of God for me to give to missions. It's the will of God for me and our church to send the light, the blessed gospel light. And if we'll obey it, you and I will experience the reaped benefits. May the Lord bless you tonight. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. Our pastor is going to come tonight. Thank you for your attention. I want to say once again how much I love you and appreciate you. And I want to say that I'm praying for this missions month. I'm praying not only for you to take on more missionaries and for you to not only lengthen your reach, but to deepen your faith. But I'm praying even more than that. This won't just be a matter of the mind, but it will be a matter of the heart. Maybe some of you need to come tonight and pray, Lord, what do you want me to do this year? Lord, what do you want me to do in the area of grace giving? What do you want me to do for missions? You know, there may be somebody here God wants you to go. And if he's speaking to your heart tonight, you need to respond to that. But I believe, dearly beloved, there is a sense in which he wants all of us to go. How dare we be hypocrites and send missionaries around the world when we won't even go across the street. May the Lord help us tonight. Brother John, you come.
Please begin to play. What a wonderful message, speaking about our need for missions. I was thinking while he was preaching, and indulge me just a little bit, I was thinking as he was on the point about encouraging the missionary by just our giving. You understand that when Bert writes these checks and sends them to the mission agency that gets them to the people, then they see readouts of that and they see the churches that sent them. From time to time, we'll send extra, as we did here just a week or two back, and Stephanie emails those missionaries and each of them just sent back words of thanks. I was thinking about the missionaries are the Joneses and the Bordadoras and the Abbots and the Ribeiros and the Abelums and the Forums and the Ardens, and we go down to close to 100 more of them each month when they get that report about the blessings of another bit of money coming in so they can pay bills, so they can, you understand, most missionaries just operate whatever ministries they do out of the support we give. So it's not like all that salary. A lot of that's what they give their crusades with. That's what they get their pamphlets printed with. That's what they give, sometimes have to pay for tracts or have to pay to get them shipped in. And so that's their operating budget as well as their family budget. And I was thinking about these missionaries, what a blessing it is. And I was thinking about Stephen Carrier as he'll be ordained later this year, and we'll have the opportunity to physically send him out, and what a blessing it will be to be an encouragement to him. But I hope that you got a little glimpse of it tonight, that this is missions in action. Somebody gives, somebody goes, and God gives the increase. God blesses their work. He uses us to fund the projects, fund their living. Their kids need clothes, shoes, just like ours do. They need all those things. And I hope you caught a glimpse like I did tonight when Brother Mark was preaching how God's got it orchestrated that my family gives to missions, as most of yours does as well. My family gives to missions, and then we're able to walk down that hall and see the works that are going on because of our missions giving. And it's just a beautiful thing. And I pray that tonight you would take that admonition to heart that he said, pray. You've got that mission giving card. If you didn't get one in the bulletin, you can get it at the guest services counter tonight. Stick in your Bible, Lord, what would you have me give? What would you have me do? What should our family be giving? And then as he mentioned, don't discount the fact that God wants you to do something. more than just give. Around the corner, around the world, as the song goes, may we be engaged in it here and be giving for it there and letting God do a great work regardless of where it is. Maybe there's some heavy need on your heart. Would you do business with the Lord? If we'll be up here in the front, Brother Daniel and I will be, and Dan's over with the kids, and if you need one of us, maybe you need something special that you want to pray about, we trust that you'd come up to us and we'd be glad to. Father, now it's our prayer as we get to think about this good man of God you brought our way, and he's given us this wonderful message from your word highlighting how you lead us to give and you've led people to go. And Lord, it's not the popular thing, as Brother Thrift mentioned tonight, even in Bible colleges, some of them, it's not popular to go on the foreign field as it is to go home back to your home church and be on staff and do this. And Lord, nothing wrong with that, of course. But I pray, dear Lord, for these good, faithful people. I pray for the Midkiffs that we had in just this past Wednesday night. Lord, they've stepped up and they're stepping out. And I pray that churches like us would get behind them and say, if you'll go, we'll give. And Lord, I pray that you would help all of us to be engaged in this process. What a joy. Thank you for bringing Brother Mark Thrift our way. I pray that you give him traveling mercies as he travels toward Nashville tonight and then on toward Hardy, Arkansas tomorrow. I pray that this meeting tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday, you'd anoint that meeting and bless him. And Lord, I pray that he thinks back on the trip over, and I pray that every thought that he has toward the people here at Buffalo Ridge would truly do, as he mentioned, I pray it would be a refreshing thought. And Lord, I pray that you would put your hand upon him, continue to put your hand upon him, I should say, and Lord, bless him in a special way. Thank you for all that you've given us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for being in church tonight. It was a wonderful day tonight. And if you missed it this morning, I hope you'll go back and listen. If you had to be out for sickness or somewhere because of travels, boy, it was a great message this morning, and trust that you'll be get a glimpse of that as well. But I want you to be praying for the Thrifts. And Brother Daniel, would you mind just putting those out? We'll just have Brother Daniel put them here on this front pew if you want to get a prayer card. We'll always put them back on guest services, and that way they can get them from there. And you be praying for them and ask the Lord to bless and continue to keep his hand upon them. Thank you so much for being in church tonight. Don't forget the announcements that Brother Daniel mentioned earlier. And I trust that you have a wonderful, wonderful week. We'll look forward to seeing you at the next appointed time. God bless you. You're dismissed.